Next comes Tom Young. I've got a very, great story with Tom. Tom was in my class, believe it or not. I did not kill his entrepreneurial kind of like will. I did not put my hands behind you and pushed you, really. I just said, think carefully, as, college teachers should do.
He's a big help.
But he came to my office one day and he said, Ricardo, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Can I disclose this?
Yeah, it's fine.
I really don't know what to do. So what's, do you need any help for an assignment, an essay or something like that? And he's like, no, I want to quit. I said, do you want to quit? Was it me? I'm not thinking. It must have been me. No, I hope it's not me. Anyway, and Tom had all these great ideas. And obviously I didn't say stay or quit. That's not my job. My job is to say, go for it with your life. Wherever you go, go 110%, give it all. And I think that was the conversation we had, wasn't it? And whatever you need help, I'll help you. So I'm so happy, so proud to introduce you, Tom. And he's going to tell us about the great things he's done, by putting not just 110%, but kind of like 150%.
That's why I look tired right now, essentially.
Yeah, so after that conversation, I did kind of leave. So I've dropped out of uni once already. So I originally did computer science. And then I haven't dropped out again, but I've kind of intercalated for 2 years. And I don't know what's going to happen after that, essentially. So I'm Tom. I'm the co-founder of a company called Repairly. Repairly is essentially the Uber for tech repairs. We send an engineer to you to fix your phone, tablet, laptop, anything you want within the hour. My story is quite interesting. I am a bit of a weirdo. I'm a classic introvert. I like sitting in a room coding, but I'm crap at it, essentially. So I came to university with an idea. I raised £50,000 for my idea prior to starting university. I came to university thinking, do I even go to university? I've kind of got this money behind me. And I ended up coming anyway. And then I did a computer science degree, and I absolutely hated it. I then pivoted my studying to entrepreneurship. I actually kind of did love that. It was kind of like finding people who were relevant to what I'm doing, people who I could speak to, who were interested in the same topics. But in computer science, I didn't have that. It's kind of like everyone in computer science is kind of a classic introvert who likes sitting in the room and not speaking to people. You don't really see them on a night out. Kind of like me. So kind of like where I'm at now. So Repairly is just going through a really, really crazy growth spurt. So as of this week, we've just announced an investment by Richard Branson. We've raised money through Richard. My business partner is currently in San Francisco with Richard and the founder of Salesforce, Eric Benioff. They've been on a private jet together. I didn't go, as you do when you're the CTO and you're in charge of the tech stuff. So we've been through an accelerator already called Ignite 100. So accelerators are really interesting, especially if you've got a tech company. They take an idea, right? So you've got this idea and you're like, okay, I want to do all this stuff. But how do you do this one thing and one thing only that's absolutely great and people love it? So we came onto this accelerator with a company called Sourcely. Sourcely was essentially the Netflix of textbooks. So textbooks are expensive. You want to rent them online for like an hour, right? So we went on with that and we found out, to be fair, it was pretty shit. No one liked it, no student wanted it, and no one wanted to buy it. Big flaw when you're trying to build a company, right? Like, it's not going to happen. By the way, this is completely, I've not planned for this comment, but this, so whatever I'm saying, if I mix up, I've not planned. So yeah, essentially, we built that. And we found students didn't want it. We spoke to hundreds and hundreds of students. Like, would you want this? Like, no. Okay, great. We even went to Newcastle Uni, right? And we pretended to be the student union. Going up to students like, hi, would you buy this? We're part of the student union. Like, no. We weren't students at all. And we weren't even students there. Like, kind of like, that was great. Hustle, hustle, hustle. That's what you need to do. So we've been through this accelerator called Ignite 100, right? They give us this money, a little pot to grow the business. And we found no one wanted it. We was in London one time, me and my business partner Fraser, and we essentially was having a tie, as you do. I was like, do you actually give a hell about what we're doing? And we just kind of like put our heads together and was like, we're not passionate about this idea anymore. So we coming up with loads of ideas, and I was like, oh yeah, I used to repair phones. So we built, within 24 hours, a company called Repairly. Within our first week, we took over £2,000 of sales. We built a website within a day and just launched it. That's how fast tech, you can just get out there these days. There's so much you can do. We actually launched the product on Slack. So we had an inter-office Slack. We just went on Slack and was like, hi guys, we fixed phones, you got your phone fixed, great. We went on, did stuff on Facebook, we did everything, right? £2,000 within the first week, and we're growing now 30% week on week, and growing even further. So I'm moving to London on Saturday, Saturday. So I'm moving to London on Saturday, and we're essentially moving into Virgin Media's offices. So Virgin Media have given us a lot of mentorship, a lot of access to finance, so Liberty Global Ventures are a big backer of us, and so is Virgin and Richard, which is going to be great, because obviously we've got this idea, right? And it might be crap. We know it's working, but we still might be crap. We don't know if it's going to be a $1 billion idea. It could turn over 100 million, but we need to be a $1 billion business in the tech industry. Otherwise, we're not going to succeed, and we're going to fail, and I'll get fired. That's the reality in tech, right? If you're not a $1 billion business, there's no investment, and there's no success stories. So, tech entrepreneurship, right, seems absolutely amazing, and it seems fun. I guarantee you now it's not. I am knackered, and I'm surprised I'm here and I'm not in bed. Usually in bed at night, like, sweats the lot because it is stressful. 2 weeks ago, before we closed this investment, we were looking at our cash flow, and we actually got this reality of, in a month's time, after we paid ourselves, we have £8.50 in our accounts, and we're going to get jobs. Within 6 hours later, we got the investment, and that was the biggest relief of my life. I actually applied for jobs. I had interviews, signed up, I had everything. But within 4 hours, that flipped. And you know what? That is the biggest stress you're ever going to have. Well, when I say the biggest, I think the biggest is when I have to lay off hundreds of staff, if that ever happens. There's a really cool book called Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz, right? And he essentially had to lay off 400 staff. Imagine going through that. That's not that bad, but essentially it was kind of like, I'm going to have to stop on this entrepreneurial ladder, and I'm going to have to go back to work, and then back to university, and not do what I love, which is building things. So luckily, we went through that, and that was the biggest highlight of my life, genuinely was. So now we're about to start this new journey with something called Techstars, if anyone knows Techstars in the room. Anyone? No? Yeah, so Techstars is essentially one of the world's largest tech accelerators. If anyone knows Reddit, anyone Reddit? Yeah. So Reddit went through Techstars, for example. Or what's the other one? SendGrid. It's kind of like MailChimp, but bigger. You know MailChimp? So they went through it as well. So basically, the market cap of this accelerator going through, they've generated a worth of over $3 billion of companies since 2007. They have an 89% success rate, and the average company raises $2 million after finishing the program. So we're at a really good stage now of growth. Like I said, I'm a bit of a weirdo. I'm only 21, and I'm just going for it. Like, I was 18, and I raised my first bit of money off this investor, and I wasted the money. Like, I was a lone founder. Now I'm in a really good position of having the founder with me who gets through that pain as well. Like, I could not do this without my co-founder. I just couldn't do everything. There's so much you have to do. Like, the biggest thing about you guys being at university, you get to meet new people. That's where I met my co-founder. I actually met him during a lecture when we were both pitching our previous ideas for entrepreneurship.
He was in my lecture, by the way.
Yeah, his.
He was in my group.
Yeah, so me and Fraser were pitching, and both different ideas, both different years, right? And we came together over a common goal of, there's no entrepreneurial community on campus, but it's actually good. At the time, the entrepreneurial side was crap, but now it's actually all right, so it's okay. Back then it wasn't, though. This was a few years ago now. You know it's true. So we essentially built something called The Hive, and we started building that. And then together we went to Silicon Valley through the university, which was great. So this is an interesting story, actually. So we had an offer from the previous business to meet our business partner out in San Francisco. And we had no money and we wanted to go over there. So what do? You hustle the university and you hustle the local council. So we went to the university and said, hi, we've got an offer to go to San Francisco and Silicon Valley. Will you give us some money? And we did the same to the council. In reality, we had no money on both sides, but we told them we had it, but we didn't. And then they came together and we got the money and we went to San Francisco, fully paid everything for 5 days. And obviously, the biggest thing about what you should do in this life of being an entrepreneur is hustle, hustle, hustle. But the biggest thing about what we do is if we want to speak to someone, we will get to that person. Without hustling, you're never going to get to that person. It's kind of like, for example, I don't know, if I were to get to an XYZ person within Unilever, I would find out in my network who can get me to that person. If they can, I'll just get there anyway. Because at the end of the day, no one's going to do it for you. In this life, no one can do anything for you. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it yourself. Right? So what I would say is make most of what you do, what you have at university. We built the company here at university, at Lancaster, with the support of the enterprise team, the support of our department. And I found my co-founder here. The biggest thing that we got from being at this university is you have huge amounts of time, right? Richard Branson actually wrote an interesting blog post about the best time to start a business is when you're below the age of 25. Number of reasons. You have no commitments, you've got no financial problems, and you've got no family or like no kids or anything. So that's like the perfect time to start a business, right? You have no worries. It's like, oh, if I'm in debt, great, I can get out of debt. Like, I'm in debt, well, I was in debt. For my first idea, I got five grand in personal debt, and I'm out of that now, and it's going great. But obviously, when you're a bit older and you've got your family, you've got a mortgage to pay for, you don't necessarily have that freedom. So what I say is to you guys, if you're at university and you've got an idea, just do it. Like, I'm mentoring a team now who's in third year, and they're trying to get their idea out there, and I keep shouting at them saying, why have you not launched yet? You could launch this app via WhatsApp. Why have you not launched yet? You could have launched it like 2 weeks ago. You can do anything really fast. There's something called launch fast and learn fast and fail fast. So essentially, launch something absolutely crap really fast. It could be, basically, like we built a website and had a phone number on it. It did not look sexy. It was absolutely rubbish. People started using it. If people use it and it's absolutely rubbish, then obviously you've got a business. So what we essentially did then is we failed and we iterated and we made a better product. And now we've still not got a product. So our current system built on WordPress, which I hacked up in 24 hours. That's how fast we got it out there. And everything about the system is so manual. So we get a request in, I'm texting the engineers manually every day. That's what we're doing at the minute. We're learning the process by doing that. So essentially, what I would say is just hustle, get out there. If you've got an idea, just go and do it. Thanks. If anyone got any questions, that's great.
So, do you have any mentors in your life? And if you do, how influential are they?
Yeah, so essentially through the probe, well, that's a bit different because on Ignite, we've met with 40 mentors, and we're just about to start Techstars, and we're essentially going to meet with another 100 mentors on over 4 weeks, and then we get part of 4 mentors. So that could be the likes of, for example, one of the mentors we've got is a guy called Tom Mockeridge. He's the ex-CEO of News International, but now the CEO of Virgin Media, so he's one of our mentors. We've had a guy who's raised $20 million in the past on our board, now he's our chairman. But I think the biggest person in my life is, well, prior to coming to university, I did an apprenticeship, right? And then I went back to college, etc. But when I was doing that apprenticeship, I essentially worked for a guy who was on Channel 4 Secret Millionaire called Arya Tahiri. So I worked with him really closely, which was great. And I built a tech repair center with him, and that was just absolutely amazing working with him, and I'm still in contact. And then this summer, and before doing this, I did an internship at a company called Purple Wi-Fi, which is a startup in Manchester, which raised like £8 million. And again, the guy who runs that, who I was working close with, he's again another Channel 4 Secret Millionaire who I was working with. So I don't know why I've got this reason, like, I kind of like gravitate towards a Secret Millionaire. I don't know why, it just happens. Kind of hinting, I think, I don't know. Yeah, but I think that's it. All my dad, like, we've got our own family business, and my dad's the one of the directors of, and they've got about 60 staff, construction company. So that's in the family business as well. So a lot of people around me.
You'd say that accelerated your learning about business?
I think the thing what accelerated my business passion was kind of like, I didn't really have that much. When I was younger, I kept seeing like these crazy stories about people having these crazy ideas and making money. I'm just like, I just want to do that. Like, that's pretty sick, and I want to do that. I want to be this billionaire 25-year-old. That's my ambition. If I'm a billionaire by 25, I'm sorted. That's my aim.
How did you get your investment from Richard Branson?
So I was quite lucky, really. So we applied for something called Techstars.
Yeah.
And it's run by Virgin Media Techstars. If you search that on Twitter today, for example, there's loads on there. Mm-hmm. And there's a video going out soon and stuff like that. So essentially, we applied for Techstars. We were one of 4,000 companies out of 71 countries who applied. And 10 teams got chosen, and we were one of them. The inherent reason we got accepted was essentially we hustled. So the application was due around the 4th of January. We started speaking to them in mid-November, and we put them on something called an investor update. So we essentially we have like a mail list, but you have to personalize every email. It's kind of crazy and takes hours. So we have a list of about 100 investors, and you give them updates every 2 weeks of your progress, or if you've done crap and stuff you've got problems with. So through that, we built this rapport with Virgin and Techstars, and they kind of like, yeah, you've got no brain, just because they love you as people. So that's how we got the investment with Richard. It's kind of a bit lucky, but anyone can do it if you hustle and you put the effort in.
You said that you had some funding from the city council. How do you go about doing that?
You're probably not going to get it anymore. I think we kind of fixed the loophole, I think. Probably.
I think you just have to ask.
Yeah, you just have to ask. We were very lucky because we already built this entrepreneurial community. We had a business partner in San Francisco. We had a reason to go out there, basically. And because we had that reason and we had the network, like, for example, one of the guys at the council, I became really good friend with him. So because of that, it kind of was a lot easier. But obviously, if you just went there now, like, how I could have money, it would take a while. But I knew him for at least 8 months before I asked him for any money.
Who else? No.
So obviously, you've sort of dropped out/taken time out of uni to pursue your various projects. And like you said, you know, you've come a long way, but you don't exactly have a product yet as such.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a on a wing of prayer. So how have you managed the emotional journey going, you know, through taking that big risk of leaving university and sort of not sure if you've got anything yet?
I think that's what I like, really. I like the uncertainty of what's going to happen. It's kind of like in 4 weeks, for all I know, I could be in debt or in a ditch. I don't know. Like, I like that uncertainty. I like that. I like living life on the edge. It's kind of like, that's why I love flying. Like, I'm currently trying to get my private pilot license. I love that. Yeah, I've been trying to do that since I was like 15, because I was in like RAF cadets. That was another story, but essentially, I just like doing stuff. And I think even just doing something cool. It's not even that, it's like, because I'm in the tech world's really cool, right? Everyone knows everyone. And I know for a fact, if I fail now, I could get a job really easy because I've done this. I never had job offers. I've had really good job offers of, like, for example, one last week was like 50 grand, and I turned it down because I want to do what I want to do. But I know if it fails, I can do. I've got other options. But you only get them other options if you put the graft in. If you don't put the graft in, then you won't have the options. Yeah.
Good question. So you said that you were very motivated by money when you were younger. Has that changed?
No. I am motivated. Well, we are both motivated by the mission of becoming one of the biggest brands in the UK to repair your gadgets. Like, an interesting start is that these days, every year, there's enough gadgets and tech that gets thrown away to fill Wembley Stadium four times over, which would all be repaired. So there's that sustainability element. But the biggest thing for us is we do want to be known as this cool brand, and you can kind of like have trust in that industry now. Kind of like, do you really want to go to Dodgy Dan on the corner to fix your phone? Not really, because you don't know if it's going to come back to you. That actually happened to us. So my mum had a laptop, took it to a repair centre. She didn't see it again for 6 months until customs rang up saying, oh, we found your laptop in Birmingham, we've seized it. Like, that's the industry we're trying to fix. It's full of dodgy people, and we're trying to fix that industry by making it trustworthy. That's the biggest thing, but I think the biggest thing for me and Fraser is, yeah, we do want to make money. Yeah. I'm a capitalist, right? So if I could have a child still going up a chimney cleaning it, I would. If I'm going to make a quick buck, that would still happen. Yeah. I'm only kidding. That actually was an... I wouldn't really, but that's an analogy that an investor said to us once. That's why I just wanted to use it because I wanted to see if it happened.
Can I ask a question about willpower? You know, all of that demonstration of willpower that you said. How can I motivate my students? Some of them are here tonight. How can I teach? Can I teach that? How can I teach that?
I don't think you can teach it.
Can I not teach it?
I think you can teach entrepreneurship, but I think to get someone to do it is the hardest thing. It's kind of like, if they haven't got the willpower to do it now, they kind of never will. It is that thing, I can't remember what it is. It's a really cool book I read about, I can't remember what it's called, but every 5 years, a person's brain changes the way their habits are, right? But your habits kind of get like, you kind of like get your habits if you get really bad habits by the time you're 25, you're essentially going to keep them habits. But if you change them habits by the time you're 25, you will change them. But I think if you can get them to start building good habits to the point that they become innovative, then I think they will be successful and they can get onto the entrepreneurial ladder. There's a lot of people who are in the tech world, essentially, who wouldn't, they just don't work. Like, the biggest thing in the tech and in general entrepreneurial world, especially if you've got a co-founder, is having a business partner you'd fall out with. Like, that's a big one as well. But yeah, I think you can teach it, but it's the willpower of the individual. Yeah, that's really
what's Snoop Dogg on?
Yes, he was. Oh yeah, there's loads of celebs on there. He's playing Snoop Dogg as well. Say again?
Is he allowed to land it? Just
are you talking about a film he was in that time? No, okay. He was in a film where he flew a plane and landed it. Well, I don't know. There's a video coming out on Virgin Media's website soon. Obviously, I wasn't allowed to go, so. Fun times. Yep. Yeah.
So you said one of the big things, the most important things is hustling to speak.
Yeah.
Do you think you can, there's ways to like, teach that, basically? Like a university thing, you can get it down to an exact science?
No. To be blatantly honest, no. I think it's kind of like you can teach someone to be a hustler, but I think the biggest thing is to me, like just me personally, someone might say no, you can teach it, right? But I think the biggest thing for what I've learned over the past is the true hustlers are the ones who just get off their ass and do it. If you're not going to get off your ass and do it and be lazy, you're just not going to do it. Like, the biggest thing, like, if you look at when I was at university, I wasn't going out drinking, for example. I was busy hustling away to try and do what I want to do. Like, now I hardly go out because I don't have a social life. Like, I've ruined relationships and everything to get to where I'm at. And that's what hustling and building a business, that's what happens. That's, like, the chain reaction of, oh, I've got a shit life, but I've got a business. You know what I mean?
Do you think before you do or just do stuff?
Say again?
Do you think before you do something or do you just do
it? Sometimes. I think there's inherent in entrepreneurs that you just go by instinct sometimes. Like, so we kind of like have ideas from the business and on the way we want to go, but sometimes you just have to follow instinct. It's kind of like, oh, if I do this, then this will happen. That's a load of crap, because the biggest thing what we've found, especially being in tech, is a lot of British people, especially Brits, are very conservative to the way they do decisions. And that's a load of crap. You can't do that. You just have to be ruthless and go by instinct. It's like, okay, I'll go by instinct, I'll learn fast, and I'm just going to iterate and carry on, right? So you've got this problem, you've learned from it, and you've made your business 10 times better. And that's the biggest thing what we've found Americans are a lot better at than Brits, and inherently Europeans. Brits and Europeans are so conservative. Pisses me off. But Americans, like, we're just trying to become very Americanized in the way of thinking, because they essentially just like, okay, if you've got an idea, let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Got another one? Yeah. No.
Thank you very much.
One more? Come on, Jerry.
No, you have the right. You have the right to find a question.
So you talk about
you know, if it fails and you'll go and work something else. Do you think there's any way, Godfrey, if you could work something else?
Probably not, to be honest. I think I'd piss people off, you know. I think I'd really piss my bosses off. Because I think the way my thought is, I think a lot of people would be kind of scared of that mentality of being so innovative. I actually got asked this quite a lot, and I think I think being in this stage of my career, I'm a 21-year-old, a bit crazy. I think for me to just get a job, I think it'll destroy one, my soul, and two, I just think the company is scared I'm going to take their jobs. So that's a lot of people. It's generally being serious, and I think it'd be very hard for me to get a job because people just get scared and they just, okay, I'm not hiring just because I'm scared you're going to take my job.